Hello, and welcome to Insight, your local guide to DLR services. My name is Cathal, and on today's episode, we're going to be looking at the Council's approach to flood management. One of the implications of climate change is that heavy rainfall events are becoming more common than they were previously, and more rainfall means a greater chance of flooding. Luckily, the Council are constantly taking action to prevent flooding using a variety of approaches to deal with these heavy rainfall events. Stay tuned as I talk to my colleague Liam about his work in the area of flood management, some of the systems we have adopted in the Council, and how we are constantly working behind the scenes to prepare for flooding and heavy rainfall. Liam, thanks very much for joining me today on the show. Before we jump into the topic of the show itself, I just want to get a little bit of background to yourself for our listeners. What do you do for the Council? What's your job?
So currently, Cathal, I'm the Water Transition Manager. It's a bit of a long-winded title, but it's has been created due to the breakup of water services in relation to the Uisce Éireann transformation program. So where water services used to look after drinking water supply, wastewater provision, and surface water provision, we now only look after surface water, and Uisce Éireann are going to look after the wastewater and drinking water supply. So there is a transition period going on at the moment. It's going to last till the end of 2026, and it's my role to manage that transition for the Council.
Okay. And God, that seems like a pretty long project, a complicated job for you, I'd say. How long have you worked for the Council? Is that all you've done? Have you been in the Council before you held this role?
Yeah, I've been here. Fortunately or unfortunately, I've been here for 34 years. I was brought in as a surveyor. So I would have surveyed most of the county's wastewater and surface water assets and some drinking water assets. That was my primary role for a number of years. I became through the ranks. My main title was a chief technician there up to recently. And then this role became available. And I was interested in kind of making sure the transition went right for the staff here.
Okay. And to kind of go back to what you'd said earlier on then, you've been with us for 34 years. So you must know, you've always worked in and around the water and drainage section. You must know the county like the back of your hand now at this stage and all of the water networks that we have, do you?
I do. I would say that I know 90% of them anyway. But it's ever changing. If you look at the developments of Cherrywood, Glenamuck, Kiltearnan, these areas are expanding at a phenomenal rate, and the catchments are increasing all the time. These new developments, I can probably address this now, but these new developments have attenuation measures in relation to surface water. So where you may have an impermeable surface being created by roofs and roads, These new developments are controlled. The discharge from these new areas are controlled using a number of measures. But it's important that we make sure we on our GIS systems here, our geographical information systems, that we have these areas covered so that the drainage planners can look at the potential effect of these areas on the downstream areas close to the sea. Where flooding may occur.
The fact that you brought up Cherrywood's kind of interesting. I would have thought that Cherrywood bringing in and other developments like it, but just Cherrywood being the biggest one, introducing so much hard surface where there was just agricultural land for the longest time, where the rainwater could have just been absorbed into the land. That must really complicate things, introducing so much new hard surfacing and have kind of increased the need for flood alleviation measures across the county, would it?
Yes, so every new site has to mimic the existing runoff. So if you have a green field at the moment, and if you think about a rainfall event that falls on that green field at the moment, there is a natural time lag and there is a natural runoff to the local stream. So where that water would soak through the soil, get into the water table and then make its way to the stream, the new development has to mimic that.
Yeah.
It can't increase that runoff to the stream. So how do you do that? There's a number of measures that you can use. There's detention basins, there's ponds, There's underground storage tanks, there's swales, there's little suds measures that you can use, green roofs, blue roofs. You know, all these measures are being used by developers now to hold back the water for that period of time that it's natural to discharge to the streams.
What exactly is a green or a blue roof then, Liam?
I'll deal with the blue roof first of all. The blue roof is just a retained area of water on a flat roof. The same as like a mini swimming pool, if you like. But it allows water to be collected on the roof and retained and then discharged slowly down through a small pipe through the roof and down into the surface water system below on the ground level. A green roof is where you'd have a section of soil with seeded grass that can be sedum, and it literally uses that soakage of natural growth on the roof. The depth of the soil would be approximately 4 to 6 inches, 100 to 150 mil, and the grass would grow up there, but the water would seep through that grass and yet again discharge at a much slower rate to the surface water system below.
And there was another, one of the other things I wanted to ask you about. You had mentioned suds. I know that's something that we've recently implemented in the new Myrtle Square development in Dunleary, and I think we did it on the Rock Road development that we have recently. Can you talk a little bit about what suds is?
Yes, exactly? So suds is another methodology of attenuation. It's sustainable urban drainage systems. That's what it stands for. So what you're trying to do is take as much of the rainfall into its natural course that it used to take. So into either tree pits, into gardens, rain gardens, into small planted areas at the side of the road where, instead of going to a road gully, straight into a pipe and straight into a stream, where there is no holding back. So we want to use as much natural soakage of the ground, but also in the Rock Road and in urban roads settings, it creates a different type of visual. Yeah. It's aesthetically a much better visual for the driving public and for the residents of that road.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So that not only. So Rock Road, for instance, the median there, as you come up to the Dart station, it's now a planted area with some alder trees that are going to grow. That's not just for aesthetic reasons that's been implemented. That's a functional rain garden as well. It has a purpose.
That's a functional rain garden, absolutely, where the water is coming off the road and draining into that land and, you know, allowing the growth of that garden.
And can we, with measures like that, so Myrtle Square, for instance, it would have just been solid paved area until it was developed there recently. We've actually, with the implementation of that and the suds involved in Myrtle Square, we've reduced the amount of water going into the water network now, have we?
Absolutely. What you would be trying to do, when we talk about new developments mimicking the existing scenario, we have to now look forward, Cathal, in relation to trying to redress what the errors of the past. So we now have to try and look at removing paved areas and creating natural drainage areas, natural kind of swales or planted areas or more tree pits. So where a road is going to be widened or there's traffic calming measures, we have to now use these measures to kind of ensure that we reduce the runoff and we reduce the runoff to the stream. There's also an element here, don't forget, that there's a better water quality going to the stream after it goes through a tree pit or after it goes through a rain garden. Whereas at the moment, you can imagine all the petrochems that are going into a road gully. They're petrochemical silts that are affected by any kind of spillage on the road. So when it rains, that water is washing that diesel or that petrol or that oil down into these road gullies. And that is polluting the streams as well. So where you put them through a rain garden or where you put them through a tree pit, the soils around the tree naturally remove those petrochems, and the quality of water going to the stream is much, much higher.
And that doesn't have a negative impact on the trees themselves or the planted area, does it?
No, the trees themselves and the planting is all based around this nutrient removal. So there's certain plants that are far more resistant to these nutrients. So they are fantastic for using, you know, for this water quality function.
Kind of diving a little bit deeper then into flood management across the county, there's these SODS measures and the things that you wouldn't quite think are flood prevention measures, but then there's the more traditional attenuation ponds, flood prevention screens as well. I believe there's similar in as a Kilbocket Park has a pretty big one. Can you kind of explain how those work, those ponds and those screens? How do they work? How do we manage them?
So in relation to Kilbocket, we have a natural valley there.
Mm-hmm.
We're very lucky, and it just happens to be on the Dean's Grain stream, which has issues downstream in the Bayview, Seafield, Glenavon area. So what we looked at is how we could hold back flow at any particular point. There was an old screen there, Cahill.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't very functional. There's a culvert running under the old Kilbocket Park, which used to be a landfill. And that culvert is over 10 metres down underneath the park there. And at its entry is where we built the new Kilbocket screen. And that allows us to basically reduce the flow going through that culvert during high rainfall events. And what then it does is it backs up and it floods the valley behind. So it's a huge attenuation measure. It's able to, you know, hold back maybe 30, 40,000 cubes of flow in the pond without actually causing too much issues for the general public. One of the pathways there is out of action for a short period of time, but the actual valve, if you like, or penstock that we use at the screen, we can raise that and lower that at any particular time to increase the flow through,
okay,
or reduce the flow through. So we also have a camera on that screen at all times. So that camera takes a picture every hour, but we can poll that camera and we can, during a flood event, and we can look at that every 5 minutes, 10 minutes, see how the screen is actually functioning. We use cameras around the county. We have 12 or 13 of them on our major rivers and screens, just to give us a picture during a flood event as to how the stream is actually functioning, where danger may be occurring in relation to local flooding.
And changing the valve and the water flow, can that be done remotely then, or do you have to go down to the screen?
We have built it so that we can actually put an actuator onto it, so that we can do it remotely. We are in a test phase at the moment, so we'd rather do it manually. And so we can get a crew down there within an hour if we need to open it during an event. But there are consequences to open it. It's better to even close it because you're flooding the valley more.
Mm.
In those situations, opening it can give rise to problems downstream. So we have been testing the settings over the last 6 to 8 months. So we're very happy at the moment that we have it more or less at the right level.
So you'd be able to use that kind of that test phase to figure out, okay, is this better to leave it closed or is it better to open it up in this circumstance rather than just kind of...
Yeah, it's maximum benefit downstream because we have a camera down, we have two cameras downstream as well. So we can look at correlate the three together and see what types of flows are happening downstream when we have a certain level set.
So you're not just monitoring the screen itself, you can see the impact of opening or closing the screen downstream.
Yes.
And so you've been here, you've been in the council dealing with water for over 30 years now. We definitely didn't have cameras on screens back then. Have you noticed much of a change? Has technology had a big impact on how we manage this sort of stuff across the county?
These cameras were brought in. I looked at the 2011 event that happened in Dunleary, which is our worst flood event in my lifetime here anyway, because we had major issues in 93 and 1995 and 2002, but 2011 was the major event. It was kind of a 1 in 70 year event, which is fairly high. And we had issues with the health and safety in relation to crews. And that was primarily my thinking in relation to getting cameras on these screens. What was happening was we were sending crews to areas where people were shouting the loudest. And that wasn't always the right thing to do. In order to analyze and in order to send these crews out, we had to have a way of making sure that we were using the best best use of our resources. Mm-hmm. So I thought that maybe a camera on each screen would be an idea in telling, kind of giving you a picture back in the depot as to where was the most need and where was the most safest to send your crews. Because what would happen in a flood event, Cathal, is that the truck would leave here, it would get down, and then a road would be impassable. And then, you know, they'd spend their time trying to deal with a situation down there, and they might be away for 3 or 4 hours. And yet somebody else on the other side of the county may be in more need. So it was a case of making sure that we just could use our resources to the best of our ability. And these cameras, but they also give you a picture in time, which is excellent. You can have a screen here in front of me with the 13 cameras, and that's telling me 5 or 6 rivers across the county. It's telling me how they're reacting to the certain event. Because what I've noticed over the last number of years in relation to the climate change and the intensification of storms is that it could be raining really heavy in Sandyford and affecting the Kerrisfort Maritimo stream going into Black Rock. And yet down in the south of the county, in Loughlinstown and Dean's Grange, there isn't a problem at all. So, but when you're in the depot and you're it's raining around you, you don't know how different systems are reacting, but where the cameras now can give you a picture of exactly where the main problems are.
And it must be quite handy as well, considering the size of the county. We could have totally different rainfall events at the same time in the north of the county compared to the south or the east and the west. So it must be really handy being able to see exactly what's going on all across the county at any one time.
I'll just give you a little insight into that, and that is that we have 6 rain gauges across the county. They give us the rainfall picture.
Okay.
And Marley, we have one in Marley Park, and I have a weather station in Marley Park, and the average yearly rainfall there would be around 1200 millimeters. The average rainfall in Church Road, Killiney, would be about 800 millimeters.
Okay.
So if you're going to buy a house, buy it on Church Road, Killiney.
If you can afford it.
Yeah. But that's it's because of the weather fronts are westerly. So when they're coming across from the west and they're coming across the land, they're obviously the rainfall is heavier. And then by the time they get to the coast, they kind of have mostly petered out. So Marley would have much more rainfall than Killiney would have.
Okay. And then I suppose moving slightly away from flooding, you mentioned the big weather event in 2011, but we have emergency management measures in place. So we have in the council, there's a severe weather alert team, and I know there's major emergency management. It's very hard to say fast. How do we deal with major emergencies in the council?
So what happens at the moment is that Met Éireann over the last number of years have increased their weather warnings significantly. So they have a yellow, an orange, and a red weather warning. So we recently had a red weather warning, as you know, Storm Bebbet, and that was the first time it has gone to red in my time here. Well, Ophelia was probably a red in certain circumstances, but the weather alerts they can be countrywide, but they're more or less province-wide, if you like. So that you might have one for Connacht, you might have one for Galway and Mayo, or you might have one for the South. But this was the first one where Dublin was included. But we have a severe weather assessment team now that look at these weather warnings, and we assess them at the start where they go to yellow, and then more or less when they go to orange is when we first kind of seriously start to look at the weather front itself. Because we it's very important that the event in 2011 came up from the southeast. So a weather front that affects us in Dunleary would be one that kind of comes up over Wexford, Wicklow, comes in from the coast, and the mountains of Wicklow more or less break the cloud, and then you get the rainfall event on the south of Dunleary. That's what happened in 2011, and that was how we were affected more than Dublin City or Fingal on that event. So the severe weather team would look at that and see which way the front is coming, and then we would assess it, and then we'd inform our personnel here to make sure all the screens on the culverts were clean. We checked the cameras, but we just basically heightened our approach to this weather situation. Then if it needs to go any further, we would talk to we would make sure that transportation and all the other departments are informed. Then if it needed to go higher again, then we'd talk to our director and then decide whether that would go to the crisis management team. And if the crisis management team then is brought together, that is in the town hall, in the main management office, and that's where, if you like, the delegation of work and the assessment of the situation would become a more council-wide function.
Okay, and you mentioned Metair, and so there's a lot of, like you said, there was a red weather warning there recently. It's Metair are the body who decide, they make the call on whether there's a warning necessary and what type of warning that is. So there's different ones for different weather events. There's snow and ice, there's rain, there's wind, and then there's the three colours. So we're not the people that make a decision if it's a red warning in Dunleary Rathdown. We get told by Metair, and then we have various procedures that we would implement based on what colour or what severity it is. So sometimes our parks may close. I know our recycling centres can close, particularly in Ballyogan, if it's there's a strong wind, they'd have to close up there. Like, there's a lot of measures that are in place, but we are told what to do, or we're influenced by Metair's decision, aren't we?
Absolutely. They are the guide that we use. Now, there's a lot of other websites that I use to kind of look at the potential impact on the county. But I'm driven really at the start of it by Metair and their weather warning. So you would have a situation where a yellow warning call would be between, say, kind of 20 and 30 millimetres over a 24-hour period. Then orange might be 30 to 50, 30 to 60, and then anything above 60 in a 24-hour period is a fairly serious scenario. So that may go to red, dependent on the direction of the front and the intensity of the rainfall. Now the radar that Metair use is a much higher quality than it used to use. Mm. It's still very difficult for them because climate change has meant, as I said, that these intense rainfall events are happening in little pockets around the country. So the likes of Newry that got hit there recently, that was a system that came up, but it kind of gathered over the Newry area and just dumped all that rainfall on top of them. And there isn't much that the local authority or the local council can do, you know, in those situations where they're faced with this amount of rainfall in such a short burst of time. So it's really your preparation and flood alleviation. We get onto flood relief schemes that what you're trying to do is you're trying to holistically look at where these events might happen. And you have a history of these events happening, and you try and put in measures for a one in a hundred year storm or one in a hundred and twenty year storm, which is which is a climate change adaption figure that we use.
Okay, and I suppose that goes back to technology then improve. So yes, climate change has an impact on the number of weather warnings that we're getting, because we do seem to be getting more than we were previously. But also Medair and all these different websites, they're making it easier to predict these events, although not like they can be unpredictable at times as well, like the Newry one. We're very much at the mercy of weather itself, aren't we?
We are, absolutely. So in relation to kind of the events that have happened over the last 10 years, the government decided to have a CFRAMS program implemented by the OPW. And that looked at all the rivers across Ireland and looked at where could the potential impact on life and important services was being affected, as I said, from the Shannon or from the Liffey, or you know, and then they broke it down into smaller areas of further assessment. And in that, the Dean's Grange, it was called the Loughlinstown AFA, which was the Loughlinstown area for further assessment, included the Loughlinstown River and the Dean's Grange River. So we in Dunleary were involved in the first tranche. So there's two studies going on, two flood relief schemes going on, and they are coming up with potential options for improvement of flood defence. So in the Dean's Grange River, we are looking at maybe a storage pond in Glenavon, another pond area that will hold back flow, and a new pipe underneath the Dart tracks at Seafield. And that will ensure that for a 120-year event that we will get our maximum flows out to sea without impact on local housing or local important businesses or strategic kind of whether there's no hospitals in that area. But that would be how these are assessed. So that Dean's Grange is ahead of Loughlinstown. Loughlinstown is at kind of an optioneering stage. So these programs are continuous around the country and really, really important for flood alleviation of the future. And we are planning for 120 years, a one in 120 year event. Now, that doesn't mean that it'll only happen once in 120 years, because, you know, once you've had one, the next day you can have one in the next 120 years again. So, you know, but that's the measures, that's the frequency that you plan for. Whereas in the past, Cathal, pipes that were put in the ground were only ever designed to a one in 50 year event.
Wow.
So, yeah, so you can see how kind of technology, insight, if you like, kind of how the studies on climate change have all kind of fed into a rethinking in relation to how your pipes and your pipe sizes now have to reflect the future. So we used to plan back in the 30s and 40s of the 1900s, they'd only be looking at a 1 in 30 year storm. Then it moved to a 1 in 50 year storm, and now we're up to 100 plus 20%. So that's a 120 year storm.
Okay, so we're really future proofing the county. Like, we're thinking it's not just management of a really bad storm that comes. I would have thought we were preparing for a bad storm every two decades or something, like for a 20 year plan, a 1 in 20 year event. But we're really pushing the boat to really be prepared for something really, really, really intense event that could happen.
The historical events that have happened in the last 20 years have led us to change our thinking on this.
Yeah.
And provide for the worst case scenario. Now, as we know, climate change is not reversing, so we'll have to keep adapting. And the events of recent year, if you like, have probably changed the thinking in the likes of Newry or Letterkenny or Middleton. these events, you know, really do kind of impact on people. They have a serious impact on mental health. They have a serious impact on business, commercial activity, planning. So, you know, the OPW are tasked with ensuring that, you know, we do provide the best form of defence where we can.
Okay. And I suppose I'm getting towards the end of my questions. One of the final ones that I have, you're in a really niche role. You've been in this area for a while. You seem to know it absolutely inside out. Do you enjoy your job?
I do, absolutely, Carl. I kind of this work that I'm doing in relation to flooding and surface water management is an area that, you know, 30, 40 years ago wasn't in anybody's thinking.
Mm.
And, you know, it's being able to kind of use technology and use the knowledge that we have. And we've a lot of very good people in the organization. And Joe Craig works closely with me here in the SWAT team and in these flood relief schemes. And he's a major driver of this work in the local authority as well. And I have to say that we've managed to kind of put Dunleary to the forefront in this area of flood prevention. And I have to also mention drainage planning, because after Bernard Egan left, he was a big driver in relation to attenuation and flood alleviation and suds measures. That was taken on by Elaine Carroll and now Joanne Codd. And they're very much, it's all a team effort to ensure that we provide as much safety to the people of the county as we can. And that's probably, you know, it's something that you can actually see happening. And it's a bit like a roads project that comes to fruition. This is a bit more of a longer project.
Yeah.
But it is something that we are contributing to the future of the county. And that's something that I particularly enjoy.
And I suppose with the likes of, I'd say our team responsible for Cherrywood or architects or housing, it's all very much above ground. You can see the impact that they have on the county. So our housing department would be building a lot of houses and you see that directly. Whereas you and your team, you do amazing work protecting the county and future-proofing the county, but it's not quite seen. It's not as obvious the measures that you've implemented as other sections. So you must have to really take pride in what you do to put so much effort into it.
Yeah, I suppose where we would have the Kilboggart and a few attenuation ponds around the county, it's something that we should probably promote a little bit better. And and when we do get the measures, say on the Dean's Grain stream, in relation to the Glenavon or the pipe under the Dart, it's something that people don't really worry about flooding, Cathal, until it's raining heavy.
Yeah.
So these events are only kind of twice or three times a year, and after the rain is gone, they move on to something else. So it's not something aesthetic, if you like,
yeah,
that you can actually see. So Kilboggart has been a great success because there's wildlife, if you like, in the area, in front of the screen, and the finish on the screen is really, 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 really nice, and people have admired it. Whether they fully understand the function of it, that's another thing. But we do,
yeah.
And that's important to us. But it's very hard to make these things or promote these things on that kind of level that you're talking about, because people will see that these events should never happen. They should never affect them. The urban planning should never have allowed this to happen. But unfortunately, it has. And we're trying to now put in measures to roll back on the mistakes of the past. But that's in also in conjunction with the fact that climate change has had a real impact as well. Mm. So where we've urbanized areas and increased the runoff, climate change has also made it really difficult for us, because the intense storms have filled up those pipes, have got the water to the streams a lot quicker than it ever did in the past.
Wow. I think it's all really interesting stuff. I think you could clearly talk about it for hours. You know it so well. That's all of my questions that I have for you anyway. we'll wrap it up there. Unless, do you have anything else that you want to add before we finish, Liam?
No, Cathal, no. That's fine. Okay. Thanks, Emil.
Look, thanks very much for joining me today, Liam.
Thanks, Cathal.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Insight. A big thanks as well to Liam for joining me to talk about his work in the council. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe and let people know about our podcast. It's available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts, and we upload new episodes regularly. For all the latest updates from the council, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website and subscribe to the DLR Times at dlrcoco.ie. That's all for this episode. I hope you found it insightful.